Sports with Katie Nolan is presented by Coors Light, the beer made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
I tried to do that with Lenny once, by the way. Wait, is that weird? That's pretty weird. I mean, I gave my weirdest confession.
Dude, about, yeah, like, you come on this podcast and say weird things, program. So it does
that
make sense.
That continues to haunt me to this day, by the way. Thanks, guys.
Hello, Avengers. Welcome to Sports, the podcast that ends with a question mark but starts with a question. I am not Katie Nolan. I'm Ashley. He's Jay.
Hello.
And this is today's question.
Hey, Katie, Ashley, and Jay. Lucas from Hartford. 860 gang, where you at?
Woo-woo.
You guys don't live in Connecticut. Anyway, my question is, if you had to be stuck on an island with one player from any of your favorite sports teams for the rest of your lives, who would it be and why? What would they bring to you being stuck? Do they have, do you think they'd be good hunters? Do you think they'd be good builders? Or do you think they'd make you laugh? Anyways, yeah, so that's it. And I hate the Red Sox, Katie, but I still love you and I still mean it. All of you, have a great rest of your days. Bye.
Well, thank you for your question, Lucas. We love you and we mean it too. I know Katie does as well. She told me a long time ago.
Especially, yeah, especially despite the Red Sox take, she said that.
Yeah. She said, even though you don't like the Red Sox, I still love you, Lucas, from Hartford. Also, I have an 860 number because I lived in Connecticut for 10 years. So I have an 860 on my work phone. Obviously, you guys probably noticed that Katie is not here right now. She is under the weather, not with COVID, but she couldn't do the pod today. So Jay and I are going to do our best to get through it. We can get into that a little bit more in official pod or show business. But first, let's answer this question. Jay, who from your favorite sports team would you want to be stranded on a desert island with?
I mean, there's an obvious answer to this, and then there's a somewhat less obvious answer to this. So I'm going to give both.
Perfect.
Obviously, number one draft pick, Lamar Jackson. The greatest living quarterback of all time.
The greatest living quarterback of all time.
And the question, you know, Lucas's question was, what do I think he would bring? Well, the thing about Lamar is that he offers both a pass and a run game that a lot of quarterbacks don't have.
Right.
So in terms of setting up shelter, in terms of like, he's got a coconut, we need to get it across the island, I'm all the way across, he's got the arm for that. Like, there's really infinite options.
He could throw it or just run it to you.
He could really do either. It just depends on which defensive scheme is set up. So that's really, that's an obvious first choice. I think a good second pick for me would be Ben Mendy from Manchester City. Mm. He is, Ashley, as you know very well, he's a left back. He plays left back for City.
Yeah, everybody knows that.
And he's just a really fun guy. Probably most famous for being like sending TikToks and Snapchats during the World Cup with France, and just sort of became really big, and a lot of people started following his Instagrams and stuff like that. So
what does that help you on the desert?
Island. It would help me because he'd just be like a lot of fun to be around, and I also feel like it would be a great time for content on the desert island. Like, we would need to make our own content because we wouldn't have any other content. So like a great content creator and partnered with me, another great content creator. I feel like the limit is endless.
Perfect.
So that's where I'm at. What about you?
You may think, wow, Ashley, super easy question for you. An Eagles fan, you've got a quarterback who's like from North Dakota, is like really into the outdoors, can like hunt and all of those things. But my concern with picking Carson Wentz as the guy I go to a desert island with is I feel like he would be so into that outdoorsy stuff that it would grate on my nerves. Like, I'd be like, I get it, man. Your duck blind is great. Like, I'm so proud of how nice you constructed it. But, like, can we talk about anything else? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I feel like you'd have a lot of notes on, like, how I'm constructing my shelters. And I kind of want someone who's going to bring a little more fun to the island.
You're not a notes person. I'm sorry. I'm just clarifying.
Yeah. I mean, I love giving them, but receiving them is not as much fun. So I was thinking that I would bring Jason Kelce, who know is a very good time, who wildly entertaining. Plus, I feel like there was a picture of him ice fishing without a shirt on at some point in his life. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. I feel like if I decided,
it's that's the background on your phone? Is that the one you're talking about?
No. It's my family computer.
Got it.
I feel like if I wanted to put some time into figuring out how to like take those coconuts and find a way to turn them into alcohol, he'd be like really in on that pursuit with me.
Right.
And so I'm going to pick Jason Kelce.
I met Jason Kelce at the Pro Bowl. And I got to say, guy looks great in a bucket hat.
He looks great in pretty much anything.
Perfectly built for a desert island. Like, yeah. So long as he's got the bucket head, he's ready to go.
I think we'd have a blast, and we get stuff done.
Great.
Question, Lucas. Don't forget, if you guys have a question and you want to call in and ask us, you can always
leave off a voicemail.
Great job, Jay, at 860-506-5571. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah.
We are existing. You are still in Nantucket?
Tucking it, but I'm heading home this weekend.
You have been saying that for several weeks. Are you actually heading home?
I have, but this time it's real.
Okay.
And then I will be in Brooklyn. And, you know, that's going to be great. I'm looking forward to getting to the bottom of all these fireworks conspiracies. Have you read about these?
I have not.
I think they're like a little too Reddit for this podcast, which is an insane thing to say, but there's like a lot of fireworks going on and a lot of people have been saying that it isn't necessarily just people getting too excited about fireworks. So, you know, I'm going to put on my investigation hat.
So what is it?
There was one conspiracy theory that I read that suggested that it's police who are setting it off, and I don't think that's right. I mean, I don't know.
People are so confusing.
People are confusing. The situation is confusing, but I've heard there's a lot of fireworks. So mostly I'm looking forward to returning to New York to have really restful sleep.
Yeah. You can sleep in because you won't be living with a baby anymore.
So that's true. Yes, I will have to because I will be up for the fireworks. I'm looking forward to getting back to my apartment. I haven't been in my apartment in a real long time.
You went for a couple days in March and that was it?
I was home in March and then I was home like for 3 days in May. Jeez, had that DJ show and then I got out of there. So
does that mean we're going to get another one?
I think we're going to get one more. Yes. I'm working on the details right now, but I will keep you the most posted and we will do one more, I think, sometime in July.
Great.
But yeah, otherwise I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. We officially bought a house. I know. I'm so excited. So we're in, I kept worrying that like something was going to go wrong and it was going to fall through, but like the papers are signed. We have the keys. It is ours. So we've just been doing a lot of like trying to clean and pack, which is hard with the child, and get ready because we move on Friday.
Yeah. That's amazing. Oh my God. It's so soon.
Yeah. It's really soon.
I remember you texted Katie and me a photo of the keys. It was like 3 days ago. And now it's like, you're moving.
Yeah. We closed on Friday and we have like a week to get ready to go. So I'm going to take some time off work and just try to power through all of that. But
we're
really, really pumped. Austin's so excited. Like we went, the other day we went down to just kind of bring some stuff and clean and, you know, whatever. And like, he rode his little scooter around the neighborhood and I was like,
oh my God.
In a cul-de-sac. And I was like, God, this is so nice.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So that felt really good. I can't wait. Like we played soccer in the backyard. It was just like, yay. I'm very, great. Very pumped about all
that's
of that.
That's going to be amazing. I have a question. Will you let Austin score a goal on you, or it's just like, that's not your thing.
That's a good question. I do like to dribble circles around him and like nutmeg him and, you know, otherwise make him feel inadequate with his soccer skills in comparison to me. But I feel like eventually I'll probably let him score, like when he starts to cry, you know?
Right. Right. But you know, also you want to raise a competitor, you know what I mean? You don't want to just,
The
first time he scores on you, like for real, it's going to be a special moment. I mean, you're probably going to be pissed, but it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, we just bought we bought like a soccer net, not like a huge one, but like a big enough one that
I that's awesome. I invented a game the other day with Poppy, the baby, where I'm holding her and then the dog is on the floor and she has like a ball. It's not actual soccer ball, but it's like, you know, it's about the size of a soccer ball. And so while holding her, I try to keep the ball away from the dog.
That's hard.
And it is so hard. It is like the best ab workout I've ever done in my life. But she like loves it and starts clapping and wailing. So we've been
that's playing. So great. Dogs are really good defenders. Basketball too.
Yeah, Agador's great way to test. So I can usually like, you know, cross them up, but it's good. It's going good.
So official pod and or show business, we don't have Katie today. So Jay and I were trying to figure out the best way to still give you guys a good podcast with, you know, famous funny people. And we decided we're just going to go through our contacts and reach out to other people from ESPN and see who we can get to join to give, you know, air quotes, expert opinions on some of the stuff going on in sports. So that's what we've got today on the podcast. Plus, we'll still do French News of the Week and a challenge update. But first, today's broadcast is brought to you by State Farm. And everybody knows that with real guidance and the right coaching, teams can go from good to great. Just like real help from your State Farm agent can make all the difference in protecting what matters most. Mm. Like, who to you, Jay, is a great coach that can help a team go from good to great?
Oh, well, I think people know me, for me, famously, Coach K, who, if you don't know Coach K, he's the Duke guy.
Right. And so, what's Coach K's actual name?
Krzyzewski. And, you know, he's been a great coach to Duke. And it's like they're getting new guys in every single year. And he's coaching them.
Well, it is a college.
And and he's coaching them, and they're always good. And now, don't mistake me. I'm not a big Duke guy, but Coach K is a Duke guy.
Right.
And he leads that team to some victories.
I think I like to look back historically, and I don't really think anybody's ever done it better than Phil Jackson. He took two different teams to multiple NBA championships. You know, people forget. Nobody forgets. He's famously like the best coach of all time. So we think that you guys should talk to a State Farm agent today about combining your home and auto insurance, which I am doing just, you know, because I own a home now, and get a teammate and coach who can help guide you through whatever life throws your way. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is where, Jay?
There.
Okay, let's get into some of the news. All right, so we have to talk about baseball, which is super confusing, and I kind of wish we had an expert. So I'm going to try texting Mina Kimes, the busiest person at ESPN.
Right, yeah.
Just see if there's any chance
she's definitely not doing 17 other things right now.
Okay. She said, Ashley, you hit me in the 1 hour block in which I happen to be free today. Woo!
All right.
I'm going to send her a Zoom link and join us to explain baseball. Please send.
Mina Kimes.
Hello.
I feel like you need a terminal.
It's not just me. Lenny's sitting on my lap.
Hey, Len.
We're here.
I mean, can we? I love you, but could we like pan down to just see Lenny's face? Or
is is this a video podcast?
No, it's just for us.
We don't. It's an audio medium.
He doesn't have makeup on. He doesn't want.
Oh my god! Hi, Lenny.
Oh my god! What a handsome boy.
Hey, bud.
I'm also wearing a hat with his face on it. If I wasn't already a stereotype of a millennial, yeah.
Do you have somewhere you can promo that merch? Where can people buy a Lenny hat?
So. A hot topic. It's very controversial. They're not
buy it at Hot Topic. Hot Topic is where they can.
get your eyeliner with the hat. No, it's a limited edition hat. We had them at my live show, and I usually give them to guests. Although famously, I've withheld it from Dominique Foxworth, who's a repeat guest, and it's kind of a running bit we have. But no, you can buy Mina Kimes Show gear on levitardaf.com. I might have gotten that wrong, but the hats are not for sale.
Special collector's item.
Special, yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of handsome boys, I know we actually have to talk about baseball stuff, but I did see a tweet that apparently you are as handsome as Chase Elliott, or you are Chase Elliott. It's hard to figure out which it is.
Thank you, first of all. So I did the gender app face swap thing, which Katie and I and Pablo did a video looking at the quarterbacks as women, right? And smoking, which also raises all kinds of questions like, are we allowed to objectify? It's not a real person, it's a woman, but also, you know, because of the patriarchy, can we objectify men anyways? You know, this whole, and I did it to myself and I posted it on Twitter, or no, pardon me, someone else did it to me, posted on Twitter, and I was like, I look great. I look like Kyle Chandler crossed with Keanu. But then many NASCAR fans, I know, right? Many NASCAR fans wrote in my mentions, you look like this driver, Chase Elliott. So I'm not a, like a lot of America at this moment, I'm learning about NASCAR over the last couple of weeks and days. So I Googled them and they were right. And I was flattered, and I am now a Chase Elliott stan. Then I did the flip and made Chase Elliott look like a woman, and he looks like me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's, wow. I'm too scared to do it because I'm worried that my identity is going to be stolen.
1,000%.
But I feel like
mine has been stolen already, I'm sure.
Yeah.
By Chase Elliott.
I'm worried that I'm just going to be really ugly and I'm going to feel sad for like a week. I'm
going to be like, okay, do you want to be like, okay, what? This is a great discussion. Do you want to be a hot woman? You know what I mean? What's
absolutely.
The...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I did feel good.
Yeah, I think it would feel great. But also, I feel like that app is a little, like, it just... It feels like it's flattering some folks. Not you, obviously. You are quite like
you
and Chase are wonderfully good looking people.
No, I know what you're talking about because it's like when people did those Bitmojis and people would make their Bitmoji like too hot, and you'd be like,
"Is that you?" You gotta have somebody else make your Bitmoji. That's the secret. You're not allowed to make your own.
That's potentially like a relationship ender. Except like imagine your partner made a Bitmoji and you look terrible.
Wow.
Katie helped me make my Bitmoji. And she's like, she like put my eyebrows on and I was like, those aren't, my eyebrows arch so much more than that. She's like, no, they don't. I'm like, well, they, yes, they do. Like, facts. It was just very like the way that you see yourself. And I like looked in the mirror and I was like, oh, I guess she's right. Like you picture yourself in your head differently. Then you actually
your Bitmoji is pretty accurate, I'd have to say.
Oh my God.
Thanks. Well, I had a lot of help. That expert help.
I'd like to see it. So we did this face app thing on another episode of HQ. We are really milking it. And we threw up Dan Lebatard and he didn't recognize himself as a woman.
What?
Like he didn't, he was like, who's that? We were like, what? And then I said on the show, oh wow, it's that age old question. Would you sleep with yourself in the opposite gender? And every person on the show said, that's not an age-old question.
That was exactly my reaction. What conversations have you been having? So what do you think? Would you do me if I was a guy?
I guess it's like, are you a horrible narcissist is the subtext of that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. For you, if I looked like Chase Elliott, I mean, I don't objectify athletes. We don't objectify athletes on this podcast, so it's hard to say one way or the other if he's, you know, like handsome. But if you think so, then, you know, that's
okay. Then what if female Chase Elliott and male Mina Kimes had a child? What would it look like?
Wow. I don't know. Maybe just post a baby picture and then we'll see.
You could do don't they have the app that then shows you what your baby will look like?
Yeah, another relationship ender.
Maybe we're adding a weird wrinkle into this. Yeah, maybe it's not great for that either.
I tried to do that with Lenny once, by the way. Wait, is that weird? That's pretty weird. I mean, I gave my weirdest confession.
You come on this podcast and say weird things, so it does make sense.
That continues to haunt me to this day, by the way. Thanks, guys.
I feel like we actually just brought it up. Was it last week on the podcast?
It was 2 weeks ago, yeah.
Because Katie has a dog now, and so we were like, now that you own a dog, is it still weird or less weird knowing that Mina chews up food and lets Lenny eat it out of her mouth?
It's not really what I said, but yeah, I mean, roll the tape, but... I'm not gonna
We can get the receipts if we have to. All right. I know you're busy, obviously the busiest person in the biz. Can you explain baseball to us?
Yes. So there's three bases.
Okay.
Nine innings.
They're not gonna cut some of those bases and innings to make it faster.
Great idea.
I know, right?
Regular man. So it's happening.
It is happening, even though nobody agreed on how to make it happen. And so they're forcing it to happen.
Well, yes, exactly. So allow me to put on my woman Fred hat and try to convey to you everything. thing that's happened. Basically, they're reverting to the agreement they made back in March, which, and when I say they, I mean the league and the players, which is the league can set a season, say you're going to play anywhere from, you know, 50 games to 80 games, whatever, in this case, 60, and we will play. The players agreed for prorated pay. Now, that issue, whether to prorate the pay fully, which means pay them, you know, a percentage of what they would have made, that's been the contentious subject over the last few weeks with the league trying to back off that, the players saying you already agreed to it. They are reverting back basically to that original agreement, 60 games, full prorated play. Ugh, cool. Thanks, guys, for giving us that. Prorated pay. It's like my wealth book. And so they're going to show up and they're going to look angry probably. And, you know, it's a real bummer that they couldn't agree to something cool like expanded playoffs and, you know, fun rule changes and DH. But basically, they just realized they could not negotiate any further.
Wow. And so they're going to be traveling. I saw that they were splitting the divisions into three different divisions so that they wouldn't have to travel as much, but then they're going to have to travel anyway.
This is the best part. They spent so much time quibbling over whether or not it should be 60 games or 65 games that they really now are only getting to the whole pandemic part of it. Not the greatest. Love it. So yeah, that's what's going to be hammered out next. The league did put out a manual that I believe gave us a lot of content on account of the spit ban. Thank you for that. But it's very detailed.
We'll keep that for later too.
1,000%. It's very detailed. There's a lot of details. The logistics all have to be worked out. And then there's, of course, the issue of, and this transcends every sport, all the athletes are showing up and a lot of them are testing positive and they're trying to figure out what that means too.
Great.
Interesting. Yeah. I read that there was speculation that this could lead to a lockout in the next like 2 years.
Yeah.
Do you think that's probable?
It's plausible. And the lockout, the fact that their collective bargaining agreement is up next year, you know, is a large part of why the players were so insistent on holding their ground this time around, right? And presenting a united labor front, which they did, honestly. So, you know, there's a lot of questions over, I mean, there was already so much bad blood going into this, all the kind of games that the owners were playing with arbitration and manipulating service time and all that stuff. And now it's like even worse. It's even more toxic. So the fact that that level of toxicity is carrying over into a labor negotiation is not great.
How are they going to be able to play baseball if they're not allowed to fist bump? Like, what?
That's a great question.
What's the point, I guess? You know what I mean?
Yeah, or like any sport, I guess.
Right.
They're doing, have you guys done the elbow bump with anyone?
I have elbow bumps.
Yeah.
It actually feels okay.
Yeah,
I'm okay. Do you think that's what we're going to do instead of shaking hands? Like, we're just always going to elbow bump?
I'm actually okay. Okay, so in the spirit of me saying things I regret on this particular podcast, there's nothing I dread more than like an elaborate handshake or a dap, perhaps.
Really?
Because I'm the world's worst dapper. It's just never gone right for me. That's not true. The thing I dread the most is the cheek kiss, which I think is also going to go extinct.
Yeah. That should have French already. It's outdated.
You know, the worst is like when American dudes try to do it.
Right.
You know, it's like it's like when American dudes use European words like salute, like at a group dinner,
it feels like a direct attack, Mina. But that's fine. Please keep going.
The best part is I don't think Mina knows about your.
She
whole
doesn't.
French
no, that's the worst
so
part.
This
she like came on the podcast.
No,
like, I'm not really into guys who do French shit. And
Oh no! Keep going.
No, please.
It's totally okay.
Do you say croissant, like croissant?
Croissant?
No, I mean, no, not if I'm speaking to people who don't, you know, not if I'm speaking in English. If I'm speaking in French, then I would probably say croissant.
Wow.
But, you know, that's life.
Oh, boy. Wow. Yeah. Wow. He's quite the French accent.
Yeah.
So would you consider who's the winner, who's the loser, And where do the Astros fall into this? Like, I feel like they're going to get it. Yes. Go ahead. Go.
1,000% the Astros are the winner.
Yeah. Right?
Anymore.
They don't have to deal with any of that crap.
That was interesting.
So not fair.
I'd say the second winner is me, because as a Mariners fan, I can now say, well, who could have predicted they would have had a bad season? It's like, you know, we shouldn't even really count it. Although it could actually help me, because in 2018, at the halfway point, the Mariners had the third best record in baseball. We are cutting this season in half, which basically means crazier stuff is likely to happen.
Right.
So I think fans of crappy teams like myself could actually benefit from the weirdness of it all, the increased randomness.
Yeah, I wish I remembered where I saw this, but I saw some article that was a graph that was comparing the numbers of if you stopped every season after 60 games, what percentage of those teams would have made the playoffs? And it was, gosh, if I knew the number, it would really be impactful, but I don't, but it was low.
No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, something like at the halfway point, maybe like 70% of the teams are locked in. I recall seeing, it depends where you set the threshold, of course, but
right.
The Nationals, of course, being the most recent example of a team that got off to a terrible start and then went on to win it all. That doesn't usually happen. Most of the champions of the past few years were good in the first half of the season as well. But it does. There's going to be more chaos. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. Mm. Chaos is good. I like chaos.
I like chaos.
Yeah.
I root for chaos.
So we're going to start spring training in 7 days, and there's no plan for COVID-19.
There's no
cool.
Perfect. This is going to go flawlessly. No issues. So we're rooting for like this chaos in the sport, not chaos with like all that health stuff.
Yes. Just to be definitely clear. Anti-chaos as it pertains to health. Although I look forward to many awkward takes on guys testing positive, and then that we're going to do the weird thing where we talk about it in a sports sense. Like, what does this mean for the lineup? What does it mean for the, you know, the... this first round or whatever, and that's going to be really weird.
Yeah, I don't begrudge you that. Yeah. Have fun with that.
We'll be here.
Yeah, I'm always going to do my, like, solid, serious, not really a take, try to straddle both sides of the fence thing. I think it's going to work out pretty well.
I mean, you've been doing an incredible job with it so far, so I wouldn't change a thing.
Crushing it.
Yeah, go
the
take.
The thing is that we listen to the experts.
Yes.
Yes. Giving you a little preview.
That's nice.
Money heard.
Go enjoy your last 30 minutes off. I cannot thank you enough for coming on here and helping us understand.
Oh my God, look at him.
He's just staring at you.
That's how he gets the food.
It's such love in his eyes. My goodness. What a good pup. What a good boy. Do you think, final question, do you think if Lenny met Chase Elliott, he would kiss him open mouth as well?
So I have a serious answer to this, which is when we first, our vet in LA is a Korean woman, and Lenny was like weirdly zen around her, right? And my husband and I were thinking, like, maybe he thinks it's you or it's your sister or there's some sort of recognition, racial recognition going on there, and that kind of made me feel a little weird, right? But then when he met my brother, that theory was put to rest.
All right, Lenny, thank you for joining us. Thank you, Mina. Lenny. You're the best. Bye, Mariners. Bye.
We should probably talk about basketball. I mean, I know we talked about it last week, but I feel like everything changes every 20 seconds.
Okay.
Who can we call?
I'm going to call David Jacoby.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of him.
Because he is my friend, and he knows about basketball. And see if he can tell us about basketball.
Great, great, great.
Hi, is David Jacoby there, please?
What's happening, Ashley?
How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm recording a podcast right now, and Katie's sick, so we're trying to get smart, intelligent, famous, like really charming, charismatic people to like guest fill in for us. Could you perchance
give me Jalen's number?
I have Jalen's number. I already called him. He wasn't free. So
good, got it.
Um, I honestly have you on speakerphone right now, and I'm holding up to the microphone. Do you have 10 minutes to tell us about the NBA bubble?
Of course I do.
Yes.
Of course I do. But first, I have a question. You can't just think Katie's sick and she couldn't do it. Just, I mean, we're in the middle of a global pandemic here.
Yes.
Does Katie have COVID-19?
No.
Wow.
Okay. Wow.
You can't hear me. I'm realizing that now.
Oh, yeah. He can't hear Jay.
That's okay.
What's the best way to do this?
That's okay. Just let him go. Let him go.
Okay, just go. Jay's here, but he's not going to say anything interesting anyway, so you're fine.
That's definitely true.
I love you, Jay.
I love you too, man.
I know you can't respond, but I just want to say I miss you very much, Jay. And your haircuts were always an often discussed thing in the office. I can only imagine what you look like right now.
Oh,
please.
I'll shoot him a photo.
Your haircuts are to you, and to take that away from you is probably the worst thing the coronavirus did.
It wasn't great. It wasn't great, Jacoby.
Today, they start testing, and tomorrow, very soon, I don't know exactly at what time, but in the next couple days, we will learn exactly who is and is not coming to the bubble. So it's like, you know, when you invite a bunch of people to a party and you hope that everyone's RSVPs, yes, except for those couple people you don't like. Well, we're going to find out who is going to RSVP to Adam Silver's invite to Orlando. And, I expect a lot of people to do it. Last week, one of the most interesting things about this is they sent a 125-page health and safety protocol document to the players. Now,
that's Ashley, long. Yes.
When was the last time you read anything that was 125 pages long?
Gosh. It's hard.
Oh,
it's a lot.
Probably like a romance novel.
You didn't want to say. It was a while ago.
Well, no, I mean,
vacation or something.
No, I have a dumb answer. Like I didn't tell you this yet. We just bought a house.
Oh.
Thank you. Very excited. You didn't say congratulations. Oh. I just said thank you anyway.
Right. I was going to say congratulations. Congratulations
thanks.
To you and Esteban.
Thanks. So I had to read like a ton. There's a detention basin in the backyard, and I had to read so much information.
It was not 125.
I will send you the PDFs. It was two.
It was not 125.
It was really long. So I skimmed it.
The couple things that are part of this, we can do a detention basin podcast later, but right now we'll keep this about the bubble.
Perfect.
So they some details that page. Number one. No doubles ping pong.
Yeah.
Ping pong is allowed. Ping pong is allowed. No doubles ping pong.
Mm-hmm.
Another important thing that some might not think important. When you first hear about going to Orlando, you know, I've got kids, you've got kids. It's like, oh, this will be cool. Like, I'll bring my kids, we'll go to the pool, and I'm already quarantined with them. So, like, this will be like a fun, like, 3-month Disney vacation. Dope. Then they tell you that when you get there, you have to quarantine yourself, just yourself in a room. Can't be around anybody, and you can't have family there for 6 to 7 weeks.
Oh,
6 to 7 weeks. You can't have your significant other for 6 to 7 weeks when you get there.
That's too long.
Yes, and they're very strict. They're very strict policies.
Yeah,
very strict policies. If you test positive, you have to self quarantine for 14 days, and then like there's other things you have to do before you get back into action.
So I know some people have said, have started saying whether or not they're going to go because the deadline is tomorrow for players to tell the teams. And so like people we expected because of injury aren't going. Like, do you think anyone's going to say, I don't want to go just because I don't want to go because that sounds horrible?
Yes. Now we've got Trevor Ariza who's not going because he has a month visitation with his son. And you know, so you get a month with your son. You do that, especially if you're on the Trailblazers. Davis Bertans, who's really named Davis Bertans. His name is Davis Bertans, but ESPN wants us to say Davis Bertans. And I want to like ask some follow-up questions to like the newsroom. I was going to be like, can I say Davis? Because everybody else says Davis. I feel like when I say Davis, it kind of makes me look like a jerk. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it does. Yeah,
like,
for sure.
It's like, I feel like I don't know, it feels like snooty or like elitist or something to call him Davis. Like, well, I pronounce it correctly, the rest of you don't. So Davis Bertans is not, but he is going to be a free agent just coming off knee surgery. So he is healthy enough to play, but were something to happen, it would cost him like, I don't know, $70 million. So he is not going to play. But I do expect some players to opt out of the bubble. However, there are variables in that equation that they're considering. Some weighted heavier than others, but there's your personal health, the health of your family, the life experience of the quarantine, which once sounded like a fun Disney vacation, but then actually sounds like maybe not the best experience in the world.
Right.
Although they do have DJs, which I think is going to be cool.
I'm in. Sign me up.
You know, have a DJ down there and play some music, but you can't be around each other or drink. And there's obviously the, you know, the fight against social injustice and systemic racism. And there's the question of whether or not using the camera and the attention and the platform will help that movement, or will playing basketball and diverting some of the conversation from injustice towards sports hurt the movement is something that a lot of the players are weighing, and that I personally don't fully understand, obviously, because I'm a white guy. But secondly, I don't really know which way I can see. I can make a great case for both sides.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, if, you know, I think that the NBA itself should do something in that regard. We've got, you know, like if you watch English Premier League, I don't know if you're familiar, me and you did go to Liverpool.
I mean, we did.
But I
you and Jay did.
That's right. I went instead.
You went instead of me. Yep. Important.
We were there. We just talked about you the whole time and talked about how much we missed you so much that it felt like you were there.
Yep.
You
know, good save, I mean? Buddy. Good save.
Yep.
If he could only hear me.
That's totally right. That was fun.
It was fun, bro.
And they have the Black Lives Matter thing on the back of their every single uniform. So if you're the NBA, they need to come out and do something similar. They need to sort of, I think what the NBA needs to do, and there's only so much time until the players decide, is to kind of like give them, you've got 125 pages on what you guys are going to do for health. Like, where's the details on what you guys are going to do for the movement?
Yeah.
There's that. And then there's another factor in the decision whether or not to go if you're an NBA player, is like, can we really win a championship? If you're the Phoenix Suns, like, you're not winning a championship. If you're on the Wizards, like, you're not winning a championship. You're probably playing, like, 8 games and then going home. So, like, why would I go through this rigorous quarantine bubble thing in Orlando if, you know, we're just going to play games and then go home?
Yeah. So is it end of day on the 24th tomorrow that they have to decide? Because I feel like I would have anticipated hearing more people saying they weren't going to go than we have. Is it? Do you know,
John? That's a great question. Now, they do have to commit on the 24th, but well, the time they commit isn't as important to us as the time that we find out. And sometimes there's gaps there. Mm. Like, it's kind of like the trade deadline. The trade deadline's like technically like 3 p.m., but sometimes we find out about trades after it. So I don't know what time we find out, but I know I'll be following Woj.
Yeah.
You know, because the Woj is going to be busy.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. I don't think, what I think isn't going to influence anything and probably going to be inaccurate. But I don't think you'll see sort of like superstar level players, but there'll certainly be some players that will not go. And testing starts.
Right.
So one, you know, so like some, there's a lot of human beings that are going to be tested. My math is terrible, but let's try 22 times 15. It's going to get you to 330 players, right?
Sure.
I'll take it.
Sure. Yeah. Let's try 330 players. So this, you know, just the simple math will indicate you're going to get some positives and right, what 30. Happens to those people right. and those teams.
Wow.
If you were an NBA player, would you go?
There are so many other things I like to think about my life, that if I was an NBA player, that's why I have to delay this thing. I'm thinking, like, how tall am I? What's the strength of my game? What team was I on?
Power forward, 7'2".
How many millions did I make? Like, I really like this hypothetical.
Right, right, right.
But if I was an NBA player and I am still a white person, I would have long conversations about the impact on the movement with my black teammates and inner circle and sort of get that from a health perspective. I think the main things that people consider are health and the fight against social injustice. And I, from a health perspective, I would go for sure.
What about like the separation from your family?
Well, first of all, I really enjoy being separated from my family. My Father's Day was this weekend. My wife was like, don't you want to spend some time with us? Like, I would like to think that on Father's Day you want to spend time with us. I'm like, I've done nothing but spend time with you for 95 days in a row. 95. Okay? I haven't left the house in 95 days.
So what'd you do? Did you go?
No, Father's Day, I actually did spend time with the family.
That's nice.
Happy Father's Day, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Happy Father's Day to you too, Ashley.
Thanks, bud.
What I would say, but the net would be like, I don't know. I would want to make sure that that playing did not negatively impact the movement. Mm-hmm. But from a health perspective, I would certainly go.
Okay. And the DJ perspective as well.
Yeah, and the DJ, they have DJs.
Can you ask Jacoby if he would call this next run?
Like, one big thing about this is the barber situation. Mm-hmm. Because they have barbers, they'll supply that, but do NBA players get to pick their own barbers? Do they have to share barbers? Haircuts are very important to NBA players.
Right.
How many haircuts, like how many barbers are you going to have? You've got, what we say, 330 haircuts? That's a lot of haircuts. How many barbers? And you got socially distanced. We got how many barber shops? And everyone wants to get a cut at the same time, game day.
Right.
They're all working at the same time. I think that these are the things that they really need to consider. Yeah. I could do a 125-page document about the haircut situation.
I'd like to see it.
Jay has a question. Would
is
you
related?
No?
No, we can talk about that later.
Would you use the snitch line if you saw somebody breaking the rule?
This is great. They've got a hotline for people to call. In case you see someone else in the NBA bubble breaking protocol.
Mm-hmm.
So, if this is just a terrestrial number, like an actual just like phone number that you can call, I want to know, where's the call center that's picking this up? Is it, where is it? Is it outsourcing this to another country? Is it Nebraska famously used to be a place where call centers were because Nebraska is like technically like the American accent, and they don't have an accent.
Oh, really?
So who are those human beings? And if it's an actual number, how quickly will it get leaked? And if you say, I saw Kawhi Leonard, I don't know, playing doubles ping pong, right? Is there a follow-up investigation? Do they need a picture?
Yeah.
Who investigates?
These are really
good. Get a nest cam up in the ping pong room.
I called up, and they're like, who are you? Like, I'm David Jacoby. You know, because I'm an NBA player now. I'm David Jacoby. I'm on the Phoenix Suns. I saw Kawhi Leonard and Montrezl Harrell playing ping pong against Joakim Noah and Lou Williams.
Wow.
And on the same table. They're playing doubles ping pong. I saw that yesterday at 8:30 p.m. at the Grand Floridian. What happens then? What happens then? That's what I want to know. Do they call the FBI? Right? Do they look at surveillance footage? Like, how seriously do they take these allegations? Because if I was on the other line, if I was in Nebraska and I was just working from home, taking care of my kids, you know, because I'm manning the NBA hotline, I would say, Picker, it didn't happen, bro. You gotta take a picture.
Yeah.
You can't just be coming with accusations. You need evidence.
Plus,
next time you see Joakim Noah and Lou Williams playing doubles ping pong against Montrezl Harrell and Kawhi Leonard, you need to take a picture of it.
Yeah,
because if this is just a he said against he said, then that's not going to do it for me. They're all still eligible to play.
All right. Well, I think all of our NBA bubble questions have been answered. Jay, do you have anything else you want me to ask Jacoby since he can't hear you?
Just call him and say thanks for remembering that we spent, you know, a month in Liverpool, bruv.
He said thanks for remembering that we spent a month together in Liverpool, bruv.
Oh, yeah. Yes. What am I? Scousers for life.
Scousers for life.
That's right. Thank you, Jacoby.
Of course.
And happy Father's Day again.
Happy Father's Day to you, too. And happy Father's Day to Jay.
And happy, yeah. Thank Jay you. And his appreciate hair, that. His baby.
Yeah, yeah, that is my baby.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
That was good.
All right.
Learned some stuff about basketball. Oops.
I
feel like we maybe need a football take.
Okay.
So what if I call Diana Rossini, see if she has any hot, spicy football takes?
Great. Love that.
Okay. Let's try it. We've also determined now that only one of us can talk to the other person. So
yeah,
that's fun. Technology, am I right?
Your call has been forwarded to...
Well, we'll see if she calls me back.
That's embarrassing for you.
Yeah, that is embarrassing. Jacoby picked up after like one ring. He and sure for me, did. It was like, okay.
He jumped on the phone. Mina texted back in like a second.
You know, you have a longer tenure at the old ESO. Diana Rossini.
Ah, nuts. I mean, yay, but I liked rubbing it in your face.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Diana. It's Jay Wolf.
Hi, Jay.
I'm co-hosting this podcast, Katie's Without Katie, and I'm here with Ashley, who you won't be able to hear because she's got headphones in. But can you give us some football takes? Where are you right now?
I am currently at the Jersey Shore, sitting on the beach, trying to find an area where the wind isn't howling for you guys.
No, you sound great.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. We're doing this really lo-fi. You're at the beach, so I don't want to take too much of your time. But we just need, like, we're just trying to get, so we just got Jacoby's take on the bubble. We got Mina's take on baseball. Just a quick take on the NFL for us so that we have some content for our listeners.
Oh, good. I think that the NFL is just going to move forward on all of this and not really be as conservative or concerned as we're seeing the other leagues. I think their mantra right now is testing, education, and sort of self-reliance. Everyone just sort of making sure they do the right thing. They want to see the season go on without a hitch, and I think they're going to be right.
Ashley is asking if you think the Eagles can beat the Cowboys.
Oh my gosh, I'm sitting on a beach with, like, in a circle with all Eagles fans
to
fly an Eagles flag on the beach, which is so goddamn mortifying. I do. I think the Eagles are going to be really good this year. I think they're going to be better than the Cowboys.
Wow.
I'm saying that because I would like to get another cold beer at some point.
Right.
I'm just going to go with that for right now.
Okay. So NFC East champs, you think the Philadelphia Eagles?
Sorry. there was a dolphin. The Jersey Shore is wild, man. You have to see it. What was your question again?
The NFC East champs, the Philadelphia Eagles. That's your pitch for this season.
Oh. Without a doubt, that is they're going to win the entire division. I think Carson Wentz is going to have a breakout year. I think the injury bug just demolished Philly for so long that, I mean, you kind of look at it as it can't have this happen again.
Right.
It can't have everyone get hurt again. So
well,
I think because of that, it's going to work to their favor. And, well, I do think Dallas's offense is going to be a bunch of rock stars with all the weapons they added. I just think this whole Dak thing is weird. I just think it's just not going to be as smooth as we think it's going to be. So I'm going Eagles all the way in this division.
Okay, great. Ashley has a question. Hang on one second.
Ask her if she can get the Eagles fans with her to do an Eagles chant into this.
Ashley is asking me to ask you to get the Eagles fans you're with to do an Eagles chant into your phone. I am not going to make you do that because that's ridiculous, but I will.
The thing is, I could ask and they're going to do it. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, that's no, neither do I. So,
like it's set, the culture is so intense. Beautiful. That, like, even like the little kids, like my chances, like little cousins who don't even know how to say mom or dad yet, can sing the song. It doesn't make any sense to me. But that's why they're great, I guess.
Yeah.
unfortunately, I guess I'm part of it now, I think.
One last question for you, and I'll let you go. Do you think the Ravens will win the Super Bowl?
No, I don't think the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl.
All right, well, we got to go. right. Thank you, Diana.
Love you.
Bye. Love you, Mina.
Love you, mean it.
Wow. Diana Rossini just stabbing me in the heart right there at the last second.
Well, I mean, you didn't exactly like, you're like, oh, the Eagles could win the NFC East, which is great.
Yeah, NFC
like,
East.
But yeah, but like, you're strapping like, are the Eagles, are the Ravens?
Kings of the North, babe. AFC North champions.
Gosh, gross.
Cover of Madden. Lamar Jackson.
Have you ever heard about a little thing called the Madden Curse?
Yeah, it doesn't exist. Oh, Patrick Mahomes was on it.
It
doesn't exist.
Right.
Doesn't exist. I'm feeling inadequate because Diana didn't answer my phone call. She did call back, but I texted Mike Golic Jr.
Okay,
and it seems like he's going to join us. I sent him the link. So,
oh, I hope he doesn't ghost you.
Oh, that would be bad. Here he is. Michael Jr.
Hi.
What's up?
Dustin, how are you guys doing?
We're struggling, man. We're trying to stay afloat here doing this. This is not like our jobs. So thank you for joining us and helping us get instantly smarter and more charming.
Also, thank you for
looking, right?
Well, I don't know about that, but like, I want to get your guys' opinion on this. So during quarantine, I decided to try and become a bandana guy. I figure the face covering aspect. So I go with like the normal mask over the top, but then I toss this over it. So at the very best, I look like a bandit. And at the very worst, I have it around my neck. And I feel like it makes me feel very confident.
It looks like you're wearing an ascot. It's great. Throw a blazer on top of it. Just eat a seafood tower. I love it.
No joke, I did that. I saw Marty Smith on TV very clearly with like his facial covering tucked down, but because he was wearing a suit, I was like, he looks like he's wearing an ascot. That's the Marty Smithest thing ever.
So do you think the ascot works quite as well with a tank top as it does with a suit, or is that just your Zoom outfit for right now?
I think the ascot wouldn't work as well, but I think because it's a bandana and it's got the point, so I think it kind of works with like the general bad boy vibe I'm trying to curate. Like, I got all these tattoos to overcompensate for the
fact
that like I'm very like soft and teddy bear like. I don't get in fights and stuff, but the tattoos, they make it seem like, wow, this guy edgy.
Yeah.
Edgy.
Yeah,
bandana.
I'm terrified. I think it looks great. I love the bandana.
I personally wouldn't wear it, but I think you're doing a great job with it.
Love this for you.
For you. And then, are you also rocking the short shorts as well? You don't have to show us. I just, great.
No, it's become sort of a thing.
Well, so, I also appreciate you coming on here because I was getting owned by Ashley and like famous people who we texted and they showed up to the podcast. So the fact that you came and showed up for this is really big for me, just as a personal win.
Yeah, no, that's a very low bar for famous that you set
well,
for yourself.
You know, so. I'm not Katie, you know, it's not Katie Nolan's Zoom chat challenge. This is a much slower bar.
See, like, that's where I got super humbled, though, because in that chat, I was just sitting there like, I brought Joey Chestnut, and no one else answered. And I didn't know how to come back from that, because all of a sudden, Lin-Manuel Miranda starts popping up, and I'm like, I am just outclassed. I'm going to get along with
you
right here.
Lin-Manuel. Man, that was a wild time.
So we've talked about baseball with Mina, and we talked about NBA with Jacoby, and we talked about NFL a little bit with Diana. Could you perchance join us for a discussion on the NWSL and the absolute shit show that is going on with the Challenge Cup and the Orlando Pride?
Yeah, what in the hell? Like, how do you – and you know what? Like, I guess because, like, I don't want to cast judgment too much on anyone, but at the same time, like, when you're talking about the Challenge Cup format and the way they had it set up and what a short burst you're going for here, like – mm-hmm. Just don't do the thing for like the little bit of time leading up to that. I can't really understand that one.
So, Jay, do you want to summarize it so anyone who at home doesn't know what's going on?
So,
has a general idea?
The NWSL Challenge Cup starts next week. It'll be the first American sport back, which is exciting. And the Orlando Pride, famously, are in Orlando, which is in Florida, which has. How do we say this, relaxed their coronavirus restrictions significantly. And allegedly, according to a report from The Athletic, some players were spotted at a bar or restaurant a couple of weeks ago, and that is probably how the first player got COVID-19, and that potentially was spread between a few more players. But now I think 6 players and 4 staffers tested positive for COVID-19 as of yesterday, mm-hmm. and Orlando has decided to recuse themselves from the tournament. So, hey, Austin. So that's where we're at. It seems like everybody else is going to play, and they haven't had any other cases anywhere else, which is good. Makes it a little tricky because the tournament, I believe there was 10 teams and 9 playoff spots, or was it 9 teams and
8? I think
eight?
It was 9 and 8. And so now everyone goes. Spots,
and so now there are 8 teams, which means everybody's in the playoffs, which I love. I love that for them.
Oh, man.
So that's where we're at with the Challenge Cup.
Yeah, it's a and so it's obviously the one part of it that's a disaster already is, again, I have a great deal of sympathy as we're going to get ready to see sports go for larger swaths of time. We've talked about how the NBA is going to take up this, you know, potential like 116 days, I think, for the team that goes wire to wire and makes it all the way to the finals if it were to go to game 7. You've got a lot of your time that you are putting forth towards this, and so any bit of normalcy is welcome. For this, because it's going to be comparatively such a shorter burst, like the short-term sacrifice of, you know what, we've been quarantining for a while, maybe just finish it until we get out to Utah and can get to do this thing. But this is also an interesting learning experience going forward for a lot of the other sports, because the number one question that we've asked basically every coach, AD, GM, whoever we've talked to is, what would it take to trigger a full team shutdown? What would it take for a team to potentially have to forfeit a game? And especially when we get to the NBA bubble scenario, I think this is especially relevant. And so we've seen here, like, this percentage of their team plus the coaching staff involved just made it impossible. And so we kind of wait to see that, because no league in their guidelines, as far as I've seen and combed through at this point, has that set number. It's almost been by feel. And so we found, at least in one team sample size, what that feel looks like.
Yeah. Right. I think the part that was most concerning to me was that one person had tested positive, and so then they tested everybody else, I believe, on Thursday, and there were no other positive tests. But then they retested everybody on Saturday, and there were 9 positives. So after they had not been exposed to, sorry, my son's running behind us. So if you
I was going to ask Ashley if that was your room before. I was like, I like what you got. What you guys have done decorating the bedroom with strong. The alphabet and a guitar.
Yeah, it's a Coco guitar, so you can like play Remember Me on it. It's pretty great.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's pretty
cool.
You
want to cry.
It's boys good. These days. I know, right? So I think that's raised a lot of concerns, because it's like they had it. They obviously had it on Thursday. It's not like they went out and got it on Friday and tested positive. So is it a false negative situation where you can test and it says you don't have it, and then you go expose yourself to other teammates in the locker room?
Not great to expose yourself.
It's not great. I mean, in a locker room, everybody does it, so it's fine. Or is it that it takes a couple days for the virus to present itself? So if you get it on a Wednesday, is it 4 days and that you have it, that you can still give it to other people before you get a positive test result back? And so what does that mean for teams and leagues? Because even if you're testing daily, you may think somebody's okay, and then they go to a training session where they're breathing heavy all over everybody and spread it to all of them, and you won't even know for 4 more days. So like if you have a game and then you give it to that team and then they're fine for 4 days before they go to their locker room, all of a sudden your whole league is done. So it's like, even if you're testing every day, you can still run into these problems. And I think if I were other leagues and as a sports fan, like, I'm terrified of what that means.
Yeah, I think that's probably the toughest part. And so it's interesting how all these strategies start to couple together when it comes to the way that we address all this. Because the one thing we had an infectious disease doctor on the show this morning on Golic and Wingo. And to your first point, Ashley, I remember going all the way back at the beginning, a lot of people talked about sort of a 48-hour window. When the NBA was first closing down, a lot of them were waiting to test the teams that had come in contact with, you know, I think originally Rudy Gobert and the Jazz, but were waiting that 48-hour window because what they had gathered so far was there was that time period where it took the virus to really enter your system. I don't know how much of that changed or holds true, but at the very least, like you said, there's kind of that time lapse idea. But then there's the other important thing, and one area where I actually think in all of this, because we do this thing all the time where we ask sports to sort of lead society, whether it comes to morals and values, and certainly in this case, in medicine in some ways, that contact tracing element of it sounds like it's what's going to be most missing from larger society because there's privacy laws that people worry about and the tracking data that goes along with that. Mm-hmm. But with sports teams, you've got all these people and personnel around the team who already sort of have this level of monitoring built into their jobs. It's much more normal inside the world of sports, especially college, to kind of monitor what your athletes are doing. And right. So we've seen they're light years ahead of what I think larger society is on the idea of monitoring those interactions. So you hope that regular testing coupled with that can kind of mitigate what you're talking about. But you're right. Like at the end of the day, especially in a bubble environment where once you're locked inside, everyone goes, all right, well, we're all kind of exposed to each other. What's the harm? There is still plenty of room for disaster.
Right. Mm-hmm. Especially because it can come from somebody outside the bubble. Like, right. I think what I'm struggling with is, I mean, Gojo, you said it at the top, like the players like should have just hunkered down for however much longer, a week longer until the Challenge Cup. But I think asking the athletes, and not just the athletes, but also the staffs, right, to follow stricter guidelines than the general population is challenging. You know, like we had this conversation earlier with Jacoby about the NBA players and like what part of not wanting to go is like having to separate from your families, have to give up entertainment, have to yada, yada, yada.
Well, there because are DJs.
There are DJs.
Yeah,
just be
there
clear. Are, obviously. But like no doubles ping pong. Like how could you even play? You know what I mean? Like you can't play singles. It's just not even worth it. But like, asking athletes to, and everyone involved in the team, to give up more than a regular citizen of the United States so that we can watch these sports is like, I don't know. I feel like if in my state the bars are open, like it should be my decision whether or not I can go. I mean, I'm not going to because I'm not an idiot, but like.
Yeah. No, but I think to your point, like it does come down to a personal decision. It's just at this time period, and this is kind of what we've been told since the beginning of this, is the virus and the responsibility lies in all of us because it's not our health that's really the only thing in control. And this situation is really evidence of that, where one or two people can create a situation where now all of a sudden you've compromised an entire team in a way that's detrimental. Yeah. And this hellscape is exactly what I think of for college sports, because now you take an even younger population that's more prone to saying, I value my freedom. I've come to a place to finally get freedom in a college campus. And I already deal with this feeling of invincibility every day. Why am I not going to go beer bong a bunch of tequila with the beers in there already? With
I ask
a bunch
myself of my that friends every day. Have this. Every day I ask that. Day. Yeah.
Gross.
I did that one time in Cabo and I ended up vomiting like an entire very nice meal that we had had in like very nonchalantly. I was sitting in a hot tub and we decided it would be great to like bong cervezas and then throw tequila over the top of it. And I'm sitting there like I'm O-line me at this point. So I feel like I'm indestructible. And I'm just sitting there in the hot tub feeling pain start to rise. And I just very casually in like the bushes right next to the hot tub, I like lean over like I'm looking at a text and I just barf all into the bush right there. And then just lean back over like nothing's wrong as I'm like very clearly unwell.
You didn't even get out of the hot tub? You just barfed over the side of it?
Yeah, I tried to do the lean. Like, have you ever seen someone like throw up in the club? Like I had a buddy puke into a potted plant at a nightclub one time and like you try and think you're being real slick doing it as you're blasted. Fill it up again. Let's go.
Yeah, it's a strong move. I mean, that's a really well-placed plant next to that hot tub. I feel like that's a win for you, that you just could do the lean into the plant. That's strong. That's a strong move.
It was. Preparation met opportunity.
Yeah, that's great.
Did you guys hear about Novak Djokovic testing positive as well?
Yes.
My God.
So, I laughed, but I shouldn't have. It's not funny.
He was, like, at the club.
I'm going to summarize this for the people who don't know. So after making comments, the U.S. Open was planning to come back in August in New York without fans and, you know, all kinds of restrictions.
Right.
He made public comments being like, I don't know if I'm going to play. He's the world number one tennis player because these are too restrictive. You know, it's like too many precautions. I don't want to deal with that. So he decided he was going to start a charity tour that was a four-part series of exhibition events. That was in Croatia and the Balkans, essentially, and like have a tennis tournament to raise money while the ATP tours are all shut down because of COVID, with fans in the stands and no social distancing, no masks, no precautions of any kind. And so over the weekend, two of the other stars in the tournament, Grigor Dimitrov and I never say his name right, Borna Koric?
Koric, yeah.
Koric just dabbed.
Deserves a dab.
It was very helpful. They both announced that they had tested positive. So people are like hugging, posing for photos, like they're just throwing everything in the face of this virus. So two big stars get it. They cancel the final that was supposed to be on Sunday that Djokovic was supposed to play in. And then they do a bunch more testing and a bunch of other people test positive for it too, including Novak and his wife and another player, Viktor Troicki. Yeah. So Nick Kyrgios, our favorite tennis player of all time, tweeted, it was a boneheaded decision to go ahead with the exhibition. Speedy recovery, fellas, but that's what happens when you disregard all protocols. This is not a joke.
Wait, okay. Nick Kyrgios. When Nick Kyrgios is coming after you to be more mature, there's a problem.
Yeah. That should be the line. Oh, man, I know I stepped in it now.
Just send him a DM. Should I do this and see what he says?
I did enjoy speaking of him when he got left on Twitter red by like every big time tennis player because he tweeted, he's like, do you guys think we're all coming back too early? And he added like Federer and Joker and all these guys, and none of them responded. And I was like, that is so painful to me, even for a guy that kind of puts himself out there like that.
They're like, who are you calling we, bud?
Yeah. Like I said, that we the 40th ranked player in the world? Right, no, kindly leave. Oh, but Ashley's spot on with that. And like, obviously it's complicated with Joker because like he's someone who's very publicly against things like vaccinations that are going to factor in as we get closer to that with this virus. And so there's a certain level of irony involved in that portion of this situation, but it is a reminder, like sports are going to be hard enough to have come back and we're going to need to do everything right to make it happen. So when you just wander and saunter out there and grab your racket and act like nothing is wrong, of course the worst possible thing is going to happen.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And they did go to a club too. You're right.
The club
like
video.
It was a video.
Fist bumping at the fist bumping at the club. Like, dude, I don't know. I mean, I miss clubs as much as the next guy, but really?
I think this and the Orlando Pride thing is very similar. It's like you need everybody to be on the same page or it's going to screw it up for everybody else. So, like, I think if – I mean, I'm baking this as we go because I was like, I don't think athletes should give up more than other citizens. But it's like if you want to play your sport – you pretty much have to go in a bubble. That's the only way you can get it done.
And, like, also, like, you're not asking much because, like, that's the central tenet of, like, every team philosophy ever. Mm. Like, we all claim to love this gung-ho team. Yeah. And we all, like, when we're, you know, we're training for football, they're, like, everyone hand behind the line because every inch matters and doing things the right way translates to the field. And we do it for all that nonsense, and then people are like, hey, we need you to now do this for this deadly virus. Can you guys do that? And we're all like, but I want to go to the club. Like, even as I say it aloud, like, I don't know. Like, I just think of, like, my, like, short time playing sports. Like, and, like, all of us, like, anyone who played sports at any level, you sacrifice certain things along the way within reason in order to accomplish a goal. So I'm with you, Ashley. It's not like I want to ask these men and women to go and completely lock themselves away for our entertainment. But at the same time, I would look at it the other way and say, if this is something you value as an athlete to that level, and everyone has to make that decision for themselves. That's why if players don't want to go to these tournaments for fear of their own safety or loss of their own freedom, I'm cool because everyone's got their own decision in that. But it would reason enough for me to say that once you've made that decision, making sure you preserve that opportunity to the best of your ability, not just for the athletic portion of it, but for the larger health and safety portion of it, doesn't seem like all that unreasonable for us to sit here and talk about.
Totally. Totally. Yeah.
Agreed.
Mike, did you see this video of Mike Tyson?
So I haven't seen the newest one. My brother texted me, and all I saw in my family's group chat was, God, Mike Tyson looks scary. So wait, can I find this on Twitter?
Yeah. So
this is so embarrassing for me. I need you to watch it before we talk about it.
All right. So is it? Oh God! Is he? Whoa!
What are you reacting to? What are you reacting to? So maybe you can tell. Tell us what you're. Describe what you're watching.
Mike Tyson is boxing very furiously in some shorts that are very small. And
yes,
part of the feature of the short seems to be some sort of crotch protrusion that I'm not really used to. Holy shit.
So, okay, yeah. Now I don't feel as bad. So did you notice in the copy, it's an ad for Smart Cups?
Did not notice that.
What's
your mind go to when you hear the word smart cup? What's the first thing that jumps up into the old skull there?
Let's not say jumps up.
Man, no, I was gonna say there's a lot of jumping going on in this video right now. I'm like, you know what? I guess he needs a smart cup. Like,
seems like it would be a smart move.
Needs a big cup.
I don't know if this is the most genius combination or the dumbest, because that is not – the smart cup is nothing to do with athletic protective wear for male genitalia.
Oh, it doesn't?
No.
Oh, it's not an actual cup?
No. I think it's like a plastic-ish or like paper, whatever, where you add water and like the electrolytes come out and you just like – But I didn't know that until I clicked on it. And now I can't, like, I can't decide if this is genius or
I think it's the most brilliant thing I've ever seen.
I'll tell you who it's genius for, Mike Tyson. Yeah. If you want to show that I am both the large, scary boxer and incredibly well endowed, buy a smart cup. Do you want to throw punches and have a very large hog? Buy a smart cup.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh. What a time.
Wow. Thank you guys for calling this to my attention.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You're welcome.
It's absolutely our pleasure.
That's what we do here.
Also, right. Not for nothing, as a guy that wears short shorts a lot, great legs. Like, for Mike Tyson's age, he's in incredible shape.
He has to be training to fight somebody. It's got, like, who is it? I want to know.
I don't know, I didn't imagine, like, and even if it's someone younger, like, I feel scared for them.
What's your dream Tyson comeback fight scenario? Who do you want to see him fight?
Holyfield?
Yeah, I think that's the easy.
That's the easy answer. Sorry.
That's the best answer is what I meant to say.
Yeah, I feel like that's number one on everybody's list. Like, it'd be awesome to see him. Like, I don't know. I feel like for a lot of reasons, I got kind of sick of Conor McGregor's act for a while. So it'd be fun to watch Mike Tyson just ragdoll Conor McGregor a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say Dana White. I just want to just get him.
Wait, so do we involve him? Because I know Dana White called out Dan Le Batard.
That's what I'm saying. Dana White's he's challenging people. Let's, you know, you want to come for the king.
Let's do a ladder match between Tyson, Le Batard, and Dana.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
But instead of the belt at the top of the ring, because Dan is like myself and he appreciates a good meal, we put like a bloomin' onion at the top of it or something.
Just put smart cup at the top, and whoever gets
there gets a smart cup.
Lifetime supply.
That's a lot of value.
Gojo, do you watch The Challenge?
I don't know, and I feel really left out because I see everyone talking about it and podcasting all the time.
Yeah, you should watch it. I was going to keep you here for our challenge conversation, but...
Have you guys watched The Floor is Lava?
No, but I've heard about it. Wait, can you tell me more about it?
So... it is almost exactly what it sounds like. In they have recreated like living room settings, bedroom settings, with the caveat that in this case, the floor is, and this is what me and Billy Gill on Levitard show dubbed diet lava, because obviously it's not the full-fledged singe you off, but it appears to be very warm, kind of goopy. And the real thing that throws me is through careful editing, like the people disappear below the surface when they fall in. It is terrifying.
Oh, God.
And yeah, and so basically what the floor is lava is an exercise in acting very dramatically when someone falls in the water, because everyone is required to wail and gnash teeth when one of their teammates is lost to the water, but also falling really hard on your shins and face. Like, everyone kind of has to do the jump where you just allow your body to absorb max contact, and it's just everyone getting hit in the face by awkward angles, their shins getting blasted on this. Like, it looks legitimately painful, and for a prize of $10,000, like, I understand why you would put yourself through that pain, but yeah, floor is lava, pretty worth the watch.
That seems like not enough money for those things. $10,000, that's like too hot to handle when they all won like $50 at the end of the show. Did you guys see that show? Mm-hmm. It was like they're on this Netflix show for like 10 weeks, they're not allowed to have sex, and then like the goal, like they decide they're going to, spoiler alert, they're going to split the whole pod of money, and everybody ends up taking home like $800, and it's like, what the hell is the point?
God, it's barely going to cover the plane ticket.
Right.
I think 800 over 10 weeks is probably a little different than 10,000 for an afternoon, I'm assuming. Is it just like...
So it appears to be just a one-day venture. So it's you and two other teammates. So it's groups of three, and you've got to get as many of your group from the start of the obstacle course to the end of it in the fastest amount of time. And obviously, the most people wins, and then if there's any tie in the number of people, you go to time in a lot of this. But yeah, it's an afternoon. It's $10,000 split between people. And honestly, like, based on the people I've seen go so far, I feel like if you've got any amount of like actual athleticism, it wouldn't be that hard. Like, yeah, it's going to be difficult, but I don't think, like, there are a lot of really suspect athletic performances here. I just watched this afternoon a group of teachers absolutely barf all over themselves.
Oh, yeah. Oh. That sounds horrible.
Like barf, like over the side of a hot tub kind of barf, or yeah, like actually?
No, like me in the back of an Uber circa 2014 in Chicago, just straight strong all over yourself.
Got it.
Did you ever see this show on Netflix called Release the Hounds? Have either of you guys ever heard of this? Okay, so Release the Hounds is this British show where you're like in a team of people and you go into this haunted house and you're like finding caches of money all hidden through this haunted house. But there's like all sorts of things in this haunted house that are going to like scare you. And if you get caught by the thing, then you're out. The last test is once you have all this money, you're like making your way out of the house and they literally release the hounds and you have to outrun them. And if you don't make it out of the house past the hounds, then you lose the entire thing of money that you've accumulated. It is extraordinary to watch. That's the sort of thing where I'm like, if I'm going to be on a show to win money and like need to prove my athleticism, Release the Hounds is where I'm going, because you could get a lot of money, but you got to run faster than very, very fast dogs.
I could.
What happens when the dogs catch them? Do they?
So I think they're trained to soft mouth them, I hope. But I can't be sure.
I feel like I'd look into that before you join the show.
Probably worth looking into. But
that's my biggest question, because like I don't know the dollar amounts at play here, but man, a bite on the ass is a really hard way to lose that money.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that's true. You lose a lot. Wow. You lose a lot. Are you, Mike, are you watching any of the Bachelor season rewinds that are airing?
I haven't caught them just yet, but I know, like, I think that's going to be appointment viewing for me. I'm actually taking a week off work starting tomorrow.
Nice.
And so I think I'm going to make sure that that's appointment viewing for me on Monday night. I miss like the Bachelor live tweeting muscles. I feel stiff like that. So I got to work those out again before the new season.
Right. Yeah, they did. I watched part of one. They're kind of hard to do all at once because they do so many, like, let's go to this person for this interview. And it's just too much talking. And, you know, I'd rather just watch the recap. But I did see that Peter and Kelly came on together and have, like, announced their official relationship.
What?
I consider that a win for me.
No, it's still not a win for you. I definitely won. Go.
It's a moral
Mike,
victory.
What's your take? So Peter and Kelly, for sure, like
they're together.
Oh, and like it's the ultimate duh moment. Now the idea that Peter's mom gets any sort of satisfaction in this is a little bit suspect to me, because she's the worst. She's the worst. But yeah, I mean, anyone from a mile away could see that Kelly and him like had the only thing resembling like a mature human relationship.
Yeah.
So. Right.
Especially people who are like picking those women in a draft and picked Kelly, I feel like should be rewarded that they actually ended up together.
I see. I think in Bachelor World, there should be something that counts for that, because this is a common occurrence when the people leave and all of a sudden things get mixed up. You end up with a different person. So I feel like it should be one of those things where almost like in fantasy when they go back and there's like a correction later on that you deserve to retroactively be awarded points.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
Is Madison still with Tyler C? Is that what happened? What was the, who didn't like a, wasn't there a bunch of stuff that happened after Peter split? I don't know what happened.
I think
there was a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Ashley. Yeah.
I think Hannah Ann said she wanted to date Tyler C, but I don't think
Hannah
they actually
Ann wanted
did.
To date Tyler C.
He's still in this weird like friendship with Hannah B that everyone is like, can you please just get together? I like honestly, have TikTok just to watch their stuff.
Yo, Tyler C, by the way, I passed by him on the street in Miami down at the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
One of those people where like in person, you're like even more amazed. Yeah.
I mean, just like, because like stature wise, I'm a pretty imposing physical presence for like, you know, like not in like, you know, like sports circles, because those people are gifted individuals, but like in like polite society, I walk around and I'm bigger than most people. This guy was like a full inch taller than me.
Really?
And is just like carved out of marble. And he had the whole look, like the rolled jeans, the white shirt, the white V-neck shirt. Like he was owning Miami in a way that I was power sweating and not.
So actually, I don't know that we've announced it. We do talk about The Bachelor on this podcast a lot. His best friend, Matt James. Is that his name? Mike James? James?
Matt James.
Is going to be the next Bachelor. So they're going to do Claire's season. And he is a black guy, so he's going to be the first black Bachelor, which is a great thing. But they're still going to do Claire, and then they'll do Matt. Right, I think.
Yes, I believe. Yeah, I think Claire, because I mean, hell, it feels like Claire's is obviously, since the start of COVID, it feels like it's been a million miles away for a while. But yes, yeah. Claire Crawley's still going to get her season. So,
okay. I'm really bummed we missed Paradise.
Oh, and I only got into Paradise last year. I was late to that party and all.
Oh, yeah.
That. So I'm newly indoctrinated into the Church of Paradise, and man, what a miss that is for all of us.
It's a very different experience.
Is that your favorite? That's most people's favorites.
That's a good question. It depends. I feel like depending on who the Bachelor or Bachelorette is really dictates the success and watchability of a season. So like when they're good, it's so much fun to watch, like a proper one. Whereas like if they're too very boring, then it's like, eh. And I feel like Paradise falls in the middle. You know, like I take the best Bachelor or Bachelorette over...
So now here's one for you. Did you watch Listen to Your Heart?
No. Katie was supposed to watch that, right? And then she didn't end
Katie
up doing
was gonna
it.
Do it, and then she didn't do it. You did, right?
Was so bad. Now what I will say is I was very glad, and much like everything we've gone through now with COVID-19, where there are certain elements of life that we will take with us going forward that will make us all better because of this. There were a lot of cool camera shots that they played around with on there, some clever editing that I think should come back to the larger franchise. But oh my God, was it bad, and were the people involved awful?
They made me
feel a lot better because they were the worst.
I guess they had kind of a narrow net that they could cast to be like, you have to be really attractive and single and musically talented enough to like sing, and so you're gonna get a bunch of like,
what was the name of the guy at the end of Hannah B's season who was the musician who was
Jed.
A piece of shit? Yeah, Jed. This is like a whole, it was a whole series of Jeds, male and female Jeds.
No thanks.
No thanks.
That's a pass.
No thanks. I'm out.
Yeah.
For that reason, I'm out.
I think you should, when you take your week off, watch some of the Bachelor recaps, but I definitely think you should watch the challenge. I think it's right up your alley.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's finally time I take the plunge. I've got enough recommendations from people that I trust where I should be on this. So great. I appreciate the push here.
I feel like we've done something good today.
Yeah.
If we can get you watch the challenge, we've succeeded.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you so much for your time, for gracing us on this podcast, for making me feel a little bit more adequate because Diana Rossini didn't respond to my phone call at first. So appreciate that.
She's engaged now. She's glowed
she's
up.
She's like, I'm at the beach. You know, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Thank you guys for making me feel better about my bandana look.
Oh, well, man, don't stop. Keep it going. Post-COVID. Yeah. Just make it your thing.
Thank you, Mike.
See you, Mike.
Bye.
See you, guys.
Oh, man. Mike Golic Jr.
He's awesome. All right, let's see. Are there any other things that we should talk about before we wrap this up? Okay, so Bubba Wallace is obviously a big news topic. Just treetops for the people who don't know what happened. Recently, he made a statement that NASCAR should stop allowing the Confederate flag at races, and NASCAR decided to adopt that as policy. But on Sunday, NASCAR announced that there was a noose found in the locker of his team. So it's like in the garage in a place that was only limited to essential personnel, pretty much. So somebody like in NASCAR must have put it there. NASCAR immediately denounced it as a heinous act. They're launching an investigation as to who is responsible. But before the Talladega 500, there was a really moving scene where all of the drivers like walked Bubba's car to the front of the field just as a sign of solidarity. It was really poignant. It was something cool to see. If you haven't watched it, go look it up.
For sure.
I thought he was going to win.
Oh, man, me too. I was so excited.
Which would have been pretty great. But he finished 14th, which was a career high for him still. And then in a post-race interview, kind of said, you know, I'm not going to be scared. I'm not going to let these people take my smile, whoever it is.
Yeah.
And I think it was a really good effort by NASCAR as a sport to show support for him. Again, obviously a lot of these conversations around race and sports are very nuanced, and Jay and I are both white and don't necessarily need to amplify our voices as to our thoughts around it. So we don't have to spend a ton of time talking about it, but it felt like we should at least bring it up. And if you haven't watched that video, you should check it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, Jay Wolf.
Yeah.
Where are we at? I mean, obviously I know because I'm a huge Liverpool fan, so I watch all of their matches, but for the people at home who are curious if they've won the Premier League yet, have they?
No, they've not. Liverpool have only played one match so far, and it was against Everton this weekend on Sunday, and they drew 0-0. Very exciting stuff. Liverpool weren't at their best. Everton played really well. I think, you know, there was a lot of players who hadn't come back yet. Just because they're still in training, but obviously, like, mathematically, it is next to impossible that Liverpool doesn't lock it up. The question is really just when. But to their credit, Manchester City have been doing a really good job at showing that they're, like, not gonna let them have it easy. They played Arsenal in the first match back and won 3-0, and then they beat Burnley yesterday, which was Monday, 5-0. And it was just a rout. And so Manchester City basically are trying to keep their second place position, and everything seems like it's going to come down to a match at Anfield against Liverpool and Man City, Liverpool versus Man City at Anfield on July 2nd. If Liverpool beat Crystal Palace, they're playing tomorrow, Wednesday, and City beat Chelsea on Thursday, then it would come down to the match Liverpool versus Man City, which I think is really the way it should happen. Like, I would love to see, if Liverpool have to win, which they do mathematically, so I will concede, like, if they do it and they beat City, at least they'll feel like something. Okay. Whereas, so, you know,
if they win, even if Liverpool win tomorrow Wednesday, right, we won't know if they've technically won until Man City plays on Thursday. Which right. is kind of like anticlimactic way to find out.
Yeah, that would be the worst case scenario. I'm really hoping that City beat Chelsea anyway. And so we could call Mike Ryan about it, but I feel like we've done that bit. You know what I mean? That bit's over.
You're worried he's not going to answer.
Yeah, he's definitely not going to answer. So, we talked about it briefly with Gojo, but I think it might be time for a challenge update.
Oh, shoot.
Totally do.
Hi, I'm Ashley Wayburn here with your challenge update. I didn't take notes or anything because I just watched it, but I don't exactly remember what happened.
Mm, great. There's red skulls and you need one to get to the end.
So there was everything blurs together. I don't know if we talked about this on the pod, but Katie texted me after last week's episode that there was a Canadian version that aired that was the unedited version. So it was like they took all the D stuff out, and it made so much more sense. And I just read all the bullets and I was like, this seems so much more interesting. I wonder if they're going to keep doing this. And the answer is they are. They're like taking her out of everything, which is messing up the flow of the show. But
I do think
whatever.
It's the right call, probably.
I don't know. Like, from what I read, it seemed like, and I want to talk about this when Katie's back, but we kind of agreed that, like, everything that was being done, Dee was being painted in a bad light. Like,
right.
She was an ass. Everyone was trying to get rid of her. It made a lot more sense why. And so it's just kind of an interesting it's making the show a little bit less good. Because mm-hmm. it's like the storylines that they've obviously had crafted right. over an entire season are now they're pulling the less interesting storylines. So it's just, you know, the quality right. has dropped.
You know what they should do is give everybody guitars and have them sing. That would help.
Well, I don't know that is necessarily the answer.
Okay.
But it is an option. I'm sure yeah. they'll think
I'll
about it.
I'll text the producers and let them know my thoughts.
Okay. So this week's challenge was broken. Everyone was broken into teams of three, and they had this like big dumpster, and there was a limited amount of time, but they didn't know how long. And their goal was to take all of this like garbage, essentially, but not not like trash, like pieces of metal or like barrels or like junk, and carry it a very far distance to this dumpster and try to put as much as possible in it, so that whoever's dumpster was the heaviest at the end of the allotted time would then go on to phase two of the challenge, the top two teams. So they broke into teams of three, co-ed teams, and went for however long dragging stuff back and forth and back and forth. And shout out to the women, the two teams that ended up winning were the only teams that had two ladies and one dude. Wow. All the other teams had two dudes and one lady, and the two teams that won were both the teams that had two women and one man. So
nice.
Yay for ladies. The second phase of the challenge was essentially a race where like they had like a barrel or something super heavy like strapped to their backs, and it was like whoever crossed the line last lost. So whichever team got all three of their people across first won. And it came down to Dee and Anissa at the very end, and Dee ended up pulling it off. So Anissa's team lost, which meant that the winning team was Bailey. And I'm trying to remember. And Fessy and Dee. So they won. They were in the tribunal, and there are only a couple men left who still need red skulls, and Corey ended up being the guy who wanted the team vote to go in, even though Kyle tried to get it. Like, there was some exposure as to like who was on whose alliance, because Kyle thought he was going to get more votes than he actually did, but Corey ended up getting voted in because he has a daughter at home and I believe a pregnant girlfriend, And he like really misses them. And he was like, I'm either going to, there was a really sad moment that hit me super hard where he tried to like FaceTime with her and like his daughter didn't want to talk to him. And you could tell it was just like that kind of stuff just as a knife to the heart. And he's like, I'm either going to get my Red Skull and stay and have a reason to be here, or I'm going to go home and be reunited with my family. So he got the vote to go in. And then there was this big back and forth on like who was going to go in against him. Because everyone pretty much wants to go in now. But Bailey is engaged, I think, or dating Swaggy. And so she was like, he needs to go in. He needs to go in. He needs to go in. And he was like on the fence. And like ultimately he was like, okay, send me in. So he goes in against Corey. The purgatory challenge is like there's a bunch of buttons on opposite ends of like it looks like the side of a big truck.
Okay.
Like a giant like dumpster, like a long metal thing. And there's lights on the top and you have to press the button to turn the light on and you're attached to a harness and you have to swing back and forth, touch the buttons, light up all the lights on each side. And my God, Swaggy C was so bad at it. It was painful to watch. He was like, I don't understand how you're coordinated at all. So Corey ends up winning. Swaggy C goes home. I know that Katie probably would have had a lot more notes on people's interactions and funny things that she noticed, but I am moving and I don't have a lot of brain space for remembering cool things. So that was my challenge update. Doodly-doo. Sorry, it wasn't very good. Katie will do a better one.
It was great. Thanks, lights. Jake. Bye, Swaggy.
Yeah, bye, Swaggy.
That's sad.
Okay, so now let's head across the pond to Jay Wolf for the French news of the week.
Bonsoir.
Bonsoir.
Bonsoir. What is happening with this music? No, no music today.
Oh, boy. Do you want me to just
Why not? Okay, thank you. Okay, so hello, I'm Jay Wolf. This is French news of the week. Bonsoir. So, you know, in France, there is some restriction for coronavirus are, how you say, relaxed now. And one thing that they have done,
can't keep doing it, just keep going.
is exciting for everyone is they reopened the cinema. Now, you know, the cinema in France is very big, big, big thing. Like, people like to watch the movie. We invent this, you know, basically we, you know, it was invented in America, but the French believe we have perfected this art. So it's a very important, how you say, cultural staple. So they open the cinema in France, and what they do is at the MK2 cinema in the south of Paris, they are going to put the Minion from Despicable Me as people in seat. In the theater so that you don't sit close to other people. So that way, you know, you can be social distance and you can also enjoy the film.
So they're using the Minions as seat fillers?
They're using Minion as seat filler in MK2. And I think it's a very good idea. You know, the chairman of MK2 said that he thinks the cinema is a good thing for France. He says they love cinema. It's much less risky than spending 2 hours in traveling on public transport. So I don't think they are comparable because watching a film for 2 hours is entertainment and transportation is not entertainment. But, you know, the spirit is there. Mm. And I think the other thing that is great is that the Minions are very cute. Yeah. And it's nice to see them, you know, like they are helping. So that's nice. So that's the French news of the week. My name is Jay Wolf. Au revoir.
Au revoir. Thank you. That was wonderful. Yeah.
Well, we did a podcast, and I think there's time for one more voicemail. But before we get to that, this podcast is also brought to you by Awesome Times and Thermoses.
Right, so, AT&T. Awesome Times and Thermoses.
Ashley, I'm going to tell you
here's the thing.
About how to tell the people about average Tonka and trucks.
Wow.
You know, Ashley, just because I miss Katie so very much, I remember the song Bring It All to Me by Black featuring NSYNC was something that I just know that when Katie listens to this, it might just help her feel a little bit better. Could you
Jay, think? Not even Katie is listening this long.
I definitely think, well, I'm 95% sure there's at least 8 people still listening, one of whom is definitely Katie Nolan.
God. Oh,
bring gosh. It all to me.
Okay, I can do this. Maybe. I don't really know this song that well. We're gonna do the best we can here. And I don't know when it starts, so we're gonna figure it out.
You guys know there is a lot going on right now in the world, and we're all shopping online. I just saw that ATT started doing 2 really helpful things for those who want to buy a new phone or device online. They're offering fast, free, no contact delivery and curbside pickup, so that online.
I don't know if this is right. This
shopping is as simple and safe as possible.
I don't know the next part of the song. We're going to try.
On top of that, they have a flexible return policy.
Yeah, they do.
So you can shop at ease. You can visit ATT.com to learn how to shop online from the safety of your home 24/7. Subject to change, restrictions apply. Woo. Just go to AT.com. What does that stand for? It stands for Apples, Tacos, and Tuesdays. That's all. I don't think that's the right part of the song.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
I don't know how she does it.
That was so good.
Oh, man. I feel like I would need to practice for like 10 years to actually do
you
that.
You crushed it. That was very well. Good.
Sorry to ATT, Atlantic Transmissions, and Teleportation Services.
Ah, yes. The teleportation.
Oh, Jay, can you play another voicemail? Put me out of my misery, please.
Yes. All right, here it is.
Hi, Katie, Ashley, and Jay. This is Larry calling from Boise, Idaho. And I just wanted to let you know I found a broken down ox cart deal here. And I'm pretty sure you guys left it after getting kicked off the Oregon Trail. That might have been the problem. But I just want to let you know I found it if you're looking for it. Love you. Mean it. Have a good day. Love the cat pod.
Wow.
Thank you so much. I've been looking for that for weeks.
Thanks, Larry. Yeah, we've been, I've been stewing in it. I really feel like I can't believe how many people were okay with the fact that that ended that way.
I don't think anybody was okay with it. I think it was just like so soul crushing. You had to just move past it.
Oh God, it was terrible.
At least that's how I felt. I just pretend it never happened.
Yeah.
However many hours it was, we're never getting those back. Okay. All right. That's it for this week's edition of Sports. Shout out to State Farm. And I don't know why I just said it like a prepubescent boy. Sports?
I don't.
Shout out to State Farm and Ashley's toes and toenails. Gross. Why did I do that to myself? And shout out to the ESPN Daily with Mina Kimes, available wherever you get your podcasts. And a big thanks to David Jacoby, Mina Kimes, Mike Golick Jr., and kind of Diana Racine. And most importantly, the Eagles fans who are with her on the beach. But especially you guys for listening, if anybody still is. I hope Katie still feels better. We appreciate you bearing with us. You don't have to listen to this again. Honestly, it's fine. Yeah.
One is
enough, and you can do what we did with Oregon Trail and just pretend that it never happened. I think that would be great. Or you could always leave us a nice review wherever you're listening to this podcast, which, by the way, we read and we love them. Like this one from Best Cage Insert Sound Here Fan that says, oh, I see. Best Cage Insert Sound Here Fan. Yeah, we don't do the cage sound anymore. Jay just gave up on that, I guess. Mm. Anyway, this is what it says. As someone whose parents have recently acquired a puppy, he has been fairly stressful. To add on to the constant nagging, whining, and peeing, he might have to get his right eye removed. Oh, if he doesn't, he will have to have eye drops put in his eye 3 times a day for the rest of his life. It has been very stressful being the only one taking care of him during the day while my mom works from home and my dad goes into his office. I just wanted to say that your podcast has been a ray of sunshine in the darkness that is our house right now. Oh, man. Thank you so much for still doing the podcast in quarantine. P.S. The Important Stuff Pod was the best take of the current situation, and I shared it with all my friends. They thought it was very helpful, too, and I think they're fans of the pod, too. Sorry this is a long review, but I really needed to get this off my chest. If anyone from the pod is reading this, we are. Thank you so much. You will forever be in my heart, and I hope you and your families are safe and healthy. Peace sign. That's really sweet. That's really and lastly, nice don't forget, you can always
leave off a voicemail.
I feel like you spit everywhere.
Homestar Runner.
At 860-506-5571. Say goodbye, Ashley.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Jay.
Bye.
Bye. Love you. Mean it. Love you, Katie.
SimpliSafe Home Security is like getting commercial-grade enterprise-level security, but for your own home. Think about the security Fortune 500 companies use. They need to know police are going to be on the scene immediately. This is exactly the kind of security you get with SimpliSafe. If there's a break-in, SimpliSafe uses real video evidence to give police an eyewitness account of the crime. And that means police dispatch up to 350% faster than for a normal burglar alarm. With SimpliSafe, you get comprehensive protection for your home. Outdoor cameras and doorbells alert you to anyone approaching your home. Entry, motion, and glass break sensors guard inside. Plus, SimpliSafe protects your home from fires, water damage, and carbon monoxide poisoning. It's all monitored 24/7 by live security professionals. You can set up your system yourself with no tools needed, or SimpliSafe's experts can do it for you. And it's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. Go to simplisafe.com/Nolan today to get free shipping on your order, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's simplisafe.com/Nolan to save on home security today. Simplisafe.com/Nolan.